Sarah, U.S. President Joe Biden's latest move has revived allegations raised by Donald Trump of the U.S. Justice Department being manipulated by political powerhouses. In a stunning world face, Joe Biden extended the presidential pardon to his convicted son, Hunter Biden, who was days away from being sentenced to decades in prison. Joe Biden's move has raised questions about the U.S. Department of Justice and its charges in the Adani case, as many geopolitical experts have pointed out on several occasions. First, what is this case? Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, was not just an accused, but found guilty and convicted for gun crimes in the U.S. and for tax evasion of over $1.4 million. He was facing separate prison sentences of 17 years in the gun crime case and up to 25 years for tax evasion. He has also been accused of using his father's clout, political clout and influence, to get exclusive rights to drill for oil in Ukraine, as well as have a handful of murky deals with China, for which there can now no longer be any case that can be pursued because his father's presidential pardon gives him an immunity for whatever he has done between January 1st, 2014 to December 1st, 2024. President-elect Donald Trump tore into Joe Biden's move of using the presidential office to benefit his family. He called it miscarriage of justice. The U.S. Department of Justice faces criticism about being weaponized against political opponents in the U.S. and also misused for foreign policy that benefited those in power. Geopolitical experts and former diplomats have highlighted how Hunter Biden used his father's political clout to gain access in Ukraine and China, and how the U.S. foreign policy was reportedly molded by the Biden administration to suit such personal gains. Matt Klink is political consultant and strategic public affairs expert. He's joining me live. We have Brahma Chelani, strategic affairs expert. Manju Seth is a former ambassador. We also have Adele Malka Nazarian, who is political analyst and also a senior fellow at Gold Institute for International Strategy. Matt Klink, how is this generating the debate in the U.S. with regards to the misuse or weaponization of the Department of Justice?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. The decision by Joe Biden last night, American time, has just completely shattered the Democratic narrative that they are the ones that follow the law. I mean, the bottom line is Joe Biden flat out lied, not once, but multiple times to the American people, but it fits a pattern. He lied about not knowing about Hunter Biden's business interests, $27 million from the Ukraine, from China, and from Romania. And it completely shatters again that the Democrats follow the law and that the Republicans are against following the law. And it highlights what Donald Trump has been saying and what Republicans have been saying since 2017, that the Department of Justice and the FBI in particular have been weaponized primarily against Republicans, but against anyone who disagrees with the Democratic machine in Washington, D.C. And one, it's going to tarnish an already weak legacy of Joe Biden. But two, it makes no sense from a communication standpoint. If you're going to release this pardon, why not do it on the day after Thanksgiving on Friday? Let the media run itself into a frenzy all weekend long and then hit the day Monday, and hopefully something else carries the day. Now this topic is going to be subject number one for the whole week. And again, it further demonstrates that how completely inept and weak the Biden administration is and how hypocritical they have been. They've been pulling the wool over the eyes of the American people for 4 years, and 50 days can't come soon enough for a new administration.
But, bad communication aside, it also raises questions on, a number of decisions which has been taken under his administration. So, Adele, the question is, that was his foreign policy calls also weaponized through the Department of Justice.
Excellent to be on with you in this esteemed panel. You know, absolutely. The Department of Justice, it was a double standard in justice, honestly. He definitely did not uphold, as Matt said, the promise of restoring integrity, the rule of law, and, you know, promising to keep the Justice Department independent. All of this went out the window. And it is very dangerous from a foreign policy perspective also, because they did an excellent job in terms of covering up, although the law and the documentation throughout the cases that were examining what happened with the Burisma case and whatnot didn't actually show any kind of footprint of President Biden to his son's dealings. We all know, I think the American people are much smarter than to know that actually, when you deduce it, of course, his father's political power and leverage helped him attain those contracts and those business deals. But I think, honestly, the most damaging of all to President Biden's legacy, of course, the misuse of presidential power, but it's really the weaponization of family values, right? It's key. You know, he has emphasized repeatedly the family values and support. And this pardon really, really, it's shows the prioritization of personal loyalty over national responsibility at a time when the government already, the trust in the government is already severely fractured and fragile. And I think that I just want to make an example. I've been talking to everyday Americans. I spoke with an Uber driver yesterday who is a legal immigrant in this country. Okay. And
I'm looking at this White House statement, Manju said, Ambassador said, you know, it says clearly, and this is, of course, what Joe Biden wishes to communicate. He says that people are almost never brought to trial on felony charges solely for how they filled out a gun form. Those who are late paying their taxes because of serious addictions but paid them back subsequently with interest and penalties are typically given non-criminal resolution. It is clear that Hunter was treated differently. He added that a plea deal, which had been negotiated with the Department of Justice, unraveled in court due to political pressure. So he's talking about political pressure that under which the Department of Justice has been functioning.
Absolutely. If you see the system in the U.S., they do, every time the administration changes, they all put their own people into positions in the Justice Department and in their courts. So I think this is definitely there's an element of political bias against the president's son to a small extent. I'm not saying it's the only factor, but it is a factor. And we can see that how it has played out. And if you look at how, Joe Biden, in a way, if you take the way you said it's a weaponized, they weaponized their justice system, they weaponized their entire system into, and in this particular case, I think the person who was in charge there was a kind of pro-Republican person. So I think he would further have had an interest in prosecuting the president's son. And there is an element of this, of truth in this, that he may have been targeted because he was the president's son. And of course, the president himself has been saying that he wouldn't, he would not interfere at all. But of course, that has not, that has changed now. Mm-hmm. And he does fear that if he, his son would be, unfairly, targeted in case, because, the next president, when he comes, he might, make an example of his son as well. And at the same time, the president-elect Donald Trump has also said that, this pardon seems to be selective. Why haven't many of the others including the January 6th people, why have they not been? So he's got an opportunity. He's been given an opportunity to raise that as well.
Okay. Brahmachalani, if this is how the Department of Justice is functioning, there is this view that perhaps as Donald Trump said in his statement, which he put out on Truth Social, that then why shouldn't those who have been facing trial because of, January 6th, then they should also be, they can also be given presidential pardon later when he takes charge?
Well, for 4 years, President Biden weaponize the justice system against his main political opponent, Donald Trump. And the January 6th riot was framed as an insurrection by the Democrats. And many of these rioters have been sentenced to long prison terms. So obviously, when Trump takes office, he's going to pardon some of these jailed supporters. Maybe all of them might be pardoned. But certainly what all this shows is how the U.S. justice system has been weaponized under the Democrats in a manner in which miscarriage of justice happens. But there is also an international dimension to this. First, there's a domestic one, which is that more than two-thirds of Americans, according to one survey, think U.S. democracy is broken. So this has implications for the credibility of the U.S. to be the leader of the free world when its own legal system is so compromised. But the problem internationally is that the U.S. has also weaponized its flawed legal system as an instrument of foreign policy against targets that it periodically selects. Even a friendly country like India has not been spared. And we've seen that with two recent politically driven U.S. indictments. One indictment against a former Indian intelligence officer and another, the most recent indictment against the Indian tycoon Adani. Both of these indictments were clearly politically driven.
All right. A word also from you, Matt. You know, all these indictments or the decisions which have been taken by the Department of Justice under Joe Biden's administration could very well be put to question now, and the credibility of all the calls will now be under scrutiny.
Well, I want to make clear, though, what Joe Biden did on Sunday, American time, was a power reserved strictly for the President of the United States. It was not the Department of Justice that did this. But what everyone and what your viewers should be concerned about is that Joe Biden gave his son a full and unconditional pardon for crimes that are known and unknown for an 11-year period, meaning that if the House Republicans, which were investigating the Biden crime family for not only Hunter, but other Biden relatives trading on Joe Biden's name, Hunter Biden is now scot-free from all those things. So that and the politicization and the weaponization of the Department of Justice they're separate but related things. That's why when Pam Bondi is confirmed as the United States Attorney General for the Trump administration, I hope she cleans house, because there are a lot of people that think that it is their right and privilege to do what they want, irrespective of the goals of the current president of the United States. And it usually works to the benefits of the Democrats, because they're the ones that support a bigger, more active government in Washington, D.C., and it works to the detriment of Republicans. And dealing with January 6th, there have been 1,500 people that have been put in jail, including a 70-plus-year-old grandma who was at the Capitol, didn't do anything. She was given 6 months of home confinement. So there is certainly two systems of justice. One, if you're the favored class, which would mean largely the Democratic elite in Washington, D.C., which Hunter Biden clearly is. And then there's the rest of us who, unfortunately, are at the whim and discretion of the politicians and the bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. And that's not how America was designed, but it's been perverted, particularly by the Biden administration. But it really started in earnest under Eric Holder during the Barack Obama administration. And we need to clear these people out of Washington, D.C. and go back to what the founders of the Republic intended, which was an impartial justice system. I mean, let's face it, the statue outside the Department of Justice has a blindfolded woman holding a scale that balances. And we need to return to that principle.
All right. We certainly hope that, too. Thank you so much for joining us, Adele Manjusset, Brahma Chelani, and Matt Klink. We are going straight to Washington, D.C., where Matt Weiser, who is the White House reporter for the Washington Post, is joining us. Matt, thank you so much. This Department of Justice is being seen as being weaponized by the political class for settling scores. The entire pardoning may be morally incorrect, but it also raises questions on the functioning of the Department of Justice in the United States.
Yes, in this instance, the president, President Joe Biden, is deciding to pardon his son, Hunter, for any crimes that he was charged with or could potentially be charged with over a period of about a decade, from 2014 up until the current time. And it's a decision in which the president was worried about what Donald Trump and his Justice Department may do in choosing to continue to pursue Hunter Biden. It's also a decision to get rid of any crimes that Hunter Biden had been accused of, convicted of, and pled guilty to, that he was about to be sentenced, about to be given a sentence that could have included prison time over the next week or two was when the sentencing was scheduled to take place. So it's a very controversial decision, and it's one that Joe Biden said that he would not do. So he is also reversing what his prior public pledges were in regards to his son and his legal problems.
Would this also lead to larger scrutiny of all the actions which are being taken, which were taken by the Joe Biden administration?
I think that it's going to create a debate over the independence of the Justice Department. President Biden, when he came into office, said that the Justice Department should be run separately. And in fact, appointed a special counsel who would operate independently to investigate his son. And so he made clear that he wanted there to be independence. And so I think that this decision does certainly raise questions over that independence, where the president is choosing to shield his son and to take action to protect his son from legal scrutiny. The president also, in criticizing Donald Trump, would often say that no one is above the law. And in this case, Hunter Biden was convicted of crimes in Delaware, and he pled guilty to crimes in California. And the president is absolving those crimes. And so I think it does certainly raise questions over President Biden and his commitment to an independent Justice Department.
Okay, my last question to you, Matt. There's this huge uproar which is happening here in India with regards to an indictment order by the Department of Justice. Do you think because of the nature of the allegations that the department faces, and as you said, that it may not be functioning in an independent manner, everything that it will be doing or would have done will now be seen with a lot of cloud of suspicion?
Well, I think it's certainly one of the things that Joe Biden during his political career and during his presidency has talked about was having an independent Justice Department in order to show to the world, not just in the United States, but to the world and countries like India and all around the world, that that there is an independent Justice Department in the United States that will prosecute anybody for potential crimes. And so I do think that it does undercut some of that message. And the United States, in this instance, is shown as a country where politically connected family members are able to be protected in ways that an average citizen may not be for committing some of the same crimes. So I do think, without getting into specific cases around the world, it does undercut some of that message that the president sought to emphasize on his foreign trips abroad to export, sort of American democracy and the American justice system and its independence.
Right, Matt Weiser there. Thank you so much for joining us and putting that story in context for our viewers. That's all from me. Thanks so much for watching.